Hello, this is Ron Clark, Executive Director for Kairos Church Planting Support, and this is your Word of the Lord. We're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke because this year our theme has been presence, and we've been viewing Luke's use of presence, the presence of Jesus throughout Luke and the book of Acts. One of the interesting things about Luke is exactly how it begins, and I think that there's some application for those of you who are going through our Discovery Lab, learning about ministry at conferences, or even on the mission field trying to do work for Jesus. When we begin the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us some interesting indicators about these two books. I believe that Luke wrote Luke and Acts because he says that and because tradition teaches us that. But he, in the introduction, tells us some important themes that will go through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Jesus, according to Luke, as we would call it. First of all, as we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. Notice some key points here. First of all, the word for account in verse 1 is also logos. He also talks about fulfilled, plerophoreo in here. So Luke is saying that there's this story, this account, this history of Jesus has been fulfilled among us. It's thriving, it's growing. He mentions in verse 2 that there were eyewitnesses from the beginning and servants of the word who handed this down. In verse 2, it suggests to us that the story is already out there. A third point he makes in verse 3, he talks about carefully investigating everything from the beginning, or looking at it again. It's the idea that he's done some research, and it seems good to him to write an orderly account. We get the word catechism from orderly, kind of step by step, but the word account is a word that's used in the Greek culture for advanced training. It's actually the word for narrative. And then finally, he calls him Most Excellent Theophilus. This term is used of Festus later on. It's a Roman official. Some would say Theophilus was part of the equestrian unit, a retired military soldier who had quite a bit of money. And then finally, he wants him to know the certainty of, or the safety. Asphalion means legal or financial safety. As we read through these first few verses, there's some interesting points that I think will apply to you. First of all, Luke is saying that this story's out there, the logos, the account, it's been fulfilled among us, it's moving. He mentions that there were others who've written down the account. Now, we think that might be Matthew and Mark. Some would suggest John was out there earlier, and that's a possibility. It seems that Luke is acknowledging that there's an oral tradition and possibly a written tradition, handed down or written down. It's also the idea there. But for Luke, the story's already there. He's telling this guy, Theophilus, this Roman official, this wealthy Roman official, he's saying, you know the story. It's out there. It's circulated. And it's moving. But I feel like I want to tell an orderly account. I'm going to investigate these things. Now, we know that Luke was a physician. The Bible tells us that. Paul picks him up in the book of Acts around chapter 16 before he goes into Philippi. And we know that outside of Philippi, there were medical schools. The temple of Asclepius was the god of healing. They had libraries there. And so Luke gives us that indication. Dogs licking sores was part of their healing process. You read about that with the rich man and Lazarus. So Luke evidently knows how to research. He knows how to write. And he uses that advanced word for account or narrative. One of the things that they did with Greek students in advanced training for literary writing was that they would retell the stories in the theme of the classics. And so just as Homer's Iliad, he went on a journey, like Jesus goes on a journey. He meets monsters on the road. He kills them. Jesus saves them when he meets people on the road. Luke is saying, I'm telling this story now. I'm crafting it as a narrative, a better way, so that Theophilus might know the safety. He might know that this is a good thing. So if you think about that, what does that have to do with those of us in ministry or those of us here at Discovery Lab or some of my missionary friends in other countries who are listening. Well, number one, we live in a time and we're planting churches in a time and we're doing ministry in a time where the story of Christ is already there. Most people know the story of Christ. Most people have heard it. It is imperative that we tell a better story. Yes, we need to tell a better story. Not that the story that Jesus had is not complete, but it's not being told completely. Corruption in our churches, sin among our leadership. Our churches are hurting people. People are leaving our churches. Our churches are trying to reach people. People have become so consumeristic. It's time that we tell a better story. We tell the story of Jesus so that people might know the safety, you know, as it says here, asphalion. They might know it's a legal term about your books being in order and your account being credible. That we might tell this better story so people can see the safety, the credibility of Christianity. For my brothers and sisters in Malawi, I love my time with you. I hope to go back one day. But I want you to know you've got to get the story out there. You're in a culture that's become violent towards Christians, like it has throughout the world. You're in a culture that's questioned Christianity. You're even in a culture that sometimes has twisted the gospel of Jesus. I mean, we live in a time where people think that money equates spiritual salvation, and they don't reach the poor. We're going to see that as we go through the book of Luke. I want to share with you a personal experience as a minister who is an expert witness in domestic and sexual violence. I testify in court. I'm used to persuade juries and judges about why abuse is wrong, why sexual assault is wrong, and why we should hold offenders accountable. But I found it interesting. I was sharing with a lawyer, an attorney who, you know, prosecutes people for domestic violence. I said, I'm an expert witness. And she said, I've never met a minister who sides with the victim. She said, all the ministers I've encountered in a courtroom stand with the abuser. I've heard this from the one, the group that works with victims who of pedophile priests, you know, priests in the Catholic Church that have had sex with minors and children. And they will tell me that everybody stands with the priest. Very few people stand with the victims, the children. I've had plenty of lawyers come talk to ministers as we gather for abuse trainings here in Portland. And they'll say, when I walk into a courtroom, the preacher is always sitting with the offender. We got to tell a better story. The God of the Bible in the book of Exodus doesn't say, hey, Pharaoh, continue to abuse my people. I'll tell them to get over it. God says, let my people go. I've heard their complaining. I've heard their groaning. We have a God who stands with the victims. We have a Lord that stands with the victims. We need to tell a better story. So let's stand up for those who are crying out to God for justice, and let's be the change. I'm Dr. Ron Clark, with the Executive Director with Kairos Church Planning Support, saying have a great day.